This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lose the game on purpose? I think that would be a hard one.
Lovie Smith is out as head coach of the Texans.
Green Bay, that's the season, boys and girls.
Just need some time to figure out what's best.
Today's guests: two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host Chris Long, Michigan running back Blake Corum, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, hour number two. We chopped up quite a bit in hour number one, the decision by the Cardinals to reportedly bounce Cliff Kingsbury with 4 years left on the five-year contract extension he signed just last February. We discussed Aaron Rodgers' decision to potentially walk away that really got placed in the mind's eye based on what we overheard him saying at the end of last night's game, in which the Lions bounced the Packers, put the Seahawks in, the Bills beating the Patriots, and the Dolphins beating the Jets, because the Jets finished the season with three straight games and no touchdowns. The Dolphins are the seventh seed. We discussed the 49ers situation, the Cowboys losing, the manner in which they did. Still to come on this program, Overreaction Monday. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Top of hour number three. 1 hour from right now, we will take the phone call of one of the best players Michigan has suited up in a very long time on the offensive side of the ball. If he didn't get hurt in the penultimate regular season game against Illinois, he would have been, I believe, a Heisman Trophy candidate for sure. Would have been in Manhattan for that final ceremony. Blake Corum is going to be joining us on this program, and he has made his decision whether or not to turn pro. And I know he hurt his knee and couldn't play in the Fiesta Bowl. If he did, maybe Michigan would be playing up the road tonight in SoFi for the national championship. Who knows? But anyway, he's going to announce his decision whether he's going to turn pro or go back to Michigan for one final year. That's coming up 1 hour from now. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo.
What's up,
good
Rich?
To see you guys.
Good
TJ you, Jefferson.
Good morning.
Yeah, how about them Cowboys? You can still hold up that. No, don't do that. No! Do not discard your grease board. I know you're upset.
DJ.
Is this what we hear? This is your behavior in the barn?
How about that Cowboy?
No, this. I mean,
your behavior in the barn.
No, I don't act like that in the barn. I used to act like this,
okay.
and then I realized how ridiculous it was to allow a game that I couldn't control to have that effect on me. So I'm a lot more chill. But there was a point where I would break something.
At Rich Eisen Show, 1 week out, who you got? Cowboys, Bucks.
Why even waste your time with that?
I love it.
Poll.
Great.
Poll question. Also, poll question: best NFL head coach opening right now? Broncos, Cardinals, Colts, Panthers. Nobody wants to coach the Texans.
I will. Wow.
Oh wow.
So they didn't make the list.
It's a 1 year deal,
and they only have the second overall pick right now.
I mean,
let's though put a pin in all those conversations. Joining us right now in his usual Monday spot is our friend from the Greenlight podcast that he hosts so expertly. Two-time Super Bowl champ Chris Long back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Chris?
What's up, Rich? How are you?
I am well. Let's just jump right into it. If you want the sweater that I'm wearing, I'm going to hold on to this one, okay? But that's not an indication that this is my last show.
Yeah. No, you're going to be here.
Okay, so what is your I guess, interpretation of Rodgers telling Jameson Williams, I'm going to hold on to this one? What do you got for me on that?
Well, I think obviously there was immediate speculation. I saw it in real time. Like, I think, you know, the mics picked things up so well. In fact, I was kind of straining to listen as he was, you know, giving hugs and talking to people on the field after the game. And I kind of figured we might hear something, and we did. And I thought buried in this whole story is the confidence of Jameson Williams going to get Rodgers' jersey.
Hey, he's shooting his shot.
Awesome.
He's shooting his shot.
Yeah, you got to shoot your shot. Rodgers, you know, understandably, if it's the last game, wants to keep that jersey. And I don't think anybody would be surprised, you know, if it was his last game. Listen, like, I still think he's a great player. And, you know, I think there's going to be any number of teams that are going to look at what he brings to the table and think, hey, that's the difference between where we're sitting in a Super Bowl. Like, say, Rich, the Jets wanted to bring Aaron Rodgers in. Who says no? You say no?
Oh, I do not say no to that. Even though I still wear the scars of the Favre administration there, but this is a different,
yeah.
a different situation, a yeah. different, different quarterback, different everything.
Well, the Brett Favre-led Jets beat my Rams 44-10, I think. I was on the field for that one.
Okay.
It was crazy. But Aaron Rodgers would make somebody better next year. It just has not worked as of late in Green Bay. It just feels like they have a lot of talent, you know, year to year. I think this year there were some questions about, you know, some of the offensive weapons they have. But you talk about, like, at the end of the season, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Robert Tonyan, you know, you get Bakhtiari back. Like, I'm not going to make a bunch of excuses for this offense. And ultimately that falls on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. It falls on Matt LaFleur's shoulders. And, you know, the fumble hurt last night in plus territory. You miss a field goal, which, you know, obviously at that point, it was a very long field goal. And then seeing Matt asking somebody on the sideline, do you want me to punt it? So I don't know if they were thinking about punting that ball, but, like, you could point to any number of things in that game last night. But ultimately the theme is, you know, you lose to the San Francisco 49ers at home in a cold weather game. And Jimmy Garoppolo is the other quarterback. And then, you know, in a must-win game, you lose to Jared Goff. And I don't mean to – I'm not trying to demean those two quarterbacks, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, like, you have to beat those guys. And so I don't think there's much more we have to see in Green Bay, honestly. And I think, you know, Aaron making it known on some level after the game, I'm not saying he knew the mic would pick it up, but it's about time to start posturing for, like, maybe I don't want to be here. That's every year. Right? And, like, it started last week before the Week 18 game. Well, I'm not sure what the future holds and that sort of thing. Like, I think this year it's not a bluff. You know, and he can't retire. $59 million, it's hard to walk away from or whatever it is. He doesn't have a no-trade clause. So I think he's going to have more control over his situation this offseason.
Well, I'm not a capologist, Chris, nor are you, but I think I have it written down here. Trading him would cost the Packers a gajillion dollars. That's what I wrote down, the word gajillion. So the idea, though, is, and I know he's all about mindfulness and living in the present, but that was pretty damn mindful in living in the present about, I'm going to hold on to this one, meaning it's in his head, and it was in his head going into the game, despite the four-game win streak, that it's there, that it's a possibility that he would not want to come back, because who doesn't want to come back to play a game that he clearly loves for $60 million in a spot that adores him, too? So this thing doesn't compute, like, unless he does.
Think about it. For years, you resent where you play, like, on some level, like, whether it was his treatment earlier in his career, like, with everything with Favre in the beginning, or whether it's kind of your perceived lack of investment in weapons that would help him win, depending on where you land on that. And then by the end of it, it's just this kind of, like, I'm not saying the relationship is toxic necessarily, but I think you build up these calluses over years where you just kind of got your mind made up that the grass would be greener somewhere else on some level. And I do believe that part of him probably wants to see what that's about. I don't know. It feels like they've had every opportunity to take the next step over the last couple of years and they haven't done it. And I don't know. You know, if you're the Packers, do you hit the reset button while that stock's really high? Because he can still throw the football, man. He's still a hell of a football player. And I think it'd be interesting, too. I think it'd be good TV. You know, Aaron in New York or something like that. I mean, I hate to keep placing him in a Jets uniform, but it's just something that's popped in my head this morning.
There's Vegas, too. I mean, which is a spot a lot of people think Brady would have a landing spot for. Miami might be in the business of a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, the quarterback carousel, as it begins to spin with teams now being eliminated, is going to be really fascinating between now and new league year time. Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champ here on the Rich Eisen Show. Staying in the here and now, what was the Los Angeles Chargers and Brandon Staley's strategy yesterday, do you think?
Well, I think keeping their players sharp going into the postseason, which I don't, you know, I know it's so easy to hindsight this thing and say, you know, and I've questioned a lot of stuff Brandon Staley's done. It's so easy to say, oh, well, look what you did. You know, you got these guys hurt. you know, I saw people get tackled like Mike Williams got tackled 100 times on Sunday. I know that you've got an injury history. I know that Bosa, that injury is, I don't know, people are speculating he's not hurt, but I've heard he's hurt. Kenneth Walker, I think at least. The bottom line is, like, Cowboys kept people in longer than you might have preferred. The Eagles had a lot of players in that game late, and I know that thing, you know, got a little tighter than you wanted it to. There's some statistic, and I will blame my producer if this is wrong, but you know, over the course of the last bunch of games, that a team had a choice where they rest their starters going into the playoffs. Most of the time, that does not go very well for that team. And I've been on teams where we had a bye. I've seen teams that have had byes, especially offensively, come out sluggish and without, you know, great energy or not executing because it's been 2 weeks since they took snaps. And I think it's easy to hindsight this thing, but I'm not going to get on a soapbox this morning about football players playing football. I think there's an art to it, and I think you have to decide at what point in the game do you take those guys out.
Right.
But I have no problem with playing guys so that they get reps and stay sharp. The Chargers just got good. Like, that's another thing. They're just starting to play like a good football team. It's not like a situation where you've had this well-oiled machine all season long. Like, you need the work. You need some of the work. Now the question becomes, like, how much of the work do you need? And at what point have you passed that point of diminishing return where it's time to get guys the hell out of the ballgame? So it's easy to hindsight it. I'm not going to do it. The thing that sucks for them is they have a short week, and predictably the AFC South is going to play on Saturday, I think in the 8:15 slot. But that's yes. Right, and that's going to be a good football game. But they got to travel across the country, man, with some of these injuries they've had, and it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, the first AFC South team champion that plays on a Sunday of wild card weekend, or now even a Monday, that'll be a monumental achievement. I agree with you. And it was kind of a surprise that it was the late window. Normally that's that you could book that for the first window of wild card weekend, AFC South champ versus fill in the blank, you know. But that said, too late for me to second guess, to say I'm not second guessing. I did earlier on in the program, but by half in a way of what you just said. Look, when the Chargers put 14 up on the board, where you got the juices flowing, get them out of there. I mean, certainly if you're also the head coach, and again, if anybody knows how difficult it is to be a head coach in the league, I've been around. I'm loath to criticize, but if you're also a coach who doesn't play anybody in the preseason at all, like you're willing to come out of the gate,
that's the part.
You know,
that's the part for me.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
like that,
You got to get guys out of there once you get them to work, you know. And there's some people that will tell you, like, don't play guys at all and that sort of thing. I don't prescribe to that. But I think the context of how you've been playing, what you need or what you don't need to happen, and obviously it didn't need anything to happen at that point, then it just becomes about execution. But once you have that execution and the juices are flowing, it's time to get guys out of the game. But as far as playing guys, period, in situations like this, I've always been a fan, I said last week, of playing guys, you know, when you can. That doesn't mean they got to play 60 minutes or 60 snaps, but you got to play guys when you can, in my opinion. And I think the numbers back that up.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. We were giving Michael Irvin grief on our program yesterday because I might have baited him into saying it, but he took the cheese, saying, "We want Tom." That's what he said for the Cowboys. He figured that the Eagles were going to win anyway. That might have been his way of doubling down. We want Tom. I told him it kind of had we want Alabama field in college football. And his response was, well, Tom's not Alabama right now.
I'm confused. I thought he was saying he wants Tom next year.
Nah, Didi.
Be careful wanting Tom. This is not a matchup that I love for the Cowboys, and I just, you know, the line I thought was going to be like 4.5. It's like 3. I would bet the Bucks. I said this before yesterday, which now I'm kind of like, oh, well, everybody's going to be on the Bucks now. But I just feel like the Cowboys are not to be trusted. I just don't trust them. I feel like this is the type of spot where all the pressure's on the Cowboys, especially after Dak plays one of the worst games of his career, you know, in the context of the situation. The defense hasn't been as good. They've lost to or been close to losing to some really average quarterbacks this season. You know, they lost to Sam Howell yesterday. It's just the vibes are not good. And I don't know, man. I just don't know. The first time they played this season, yeah, a lot has changed. But one thing that's not changed is the speed of that Tampa defense, the second level, the way they fly around. They've had to stay, you know, like that defense has had to compete all year, scratch and claw, and they haven't gotten as much credit probably as they deserve. But every ball game, I feel like they've had to keep the points down, and I feel like they can do that next week and make this a dogfight. I don't know what's going on with Jensen. I have not checked up on that. You know, worse, like this sort of stuff is going to be the difference in the game. Can they get certain guys back? If they can and they can protect Tom, I think Tampa's got a shot, man.
No question about it. I mean, Tom's going to take that field on Monday night. The whole rest of the Super Wild Card weekend is going to be over. He's going to be LFGing. The cannons are going to be firing, and the Cowboys are going to have to play to the level of their opponent. And in a one or done game with the whole damn season on the line. And as I said earlier in the first hour of the show, Chris, I mean, McCarthy put the players out there and said, you know, let's go. All right. You're going against a rookie in his first career start against a team that's got nothing to play for. Major Tutty got unveiled last week. Let's go turn him into bacon. Let's go. You know, and they rolled over. There's no other way to put it. What are you going to blame McCarthy for that? He put it in his players. I'm genuinely concerned, you know?
I'm not blaming McCarthy. I don't know if they were looking at the scoreboard too much yesterday, or they were kind of focused on what had to happen, right? You know, one of those things. But I just don't think they're that good. I mean, I think they got some really good players. You know, we're so inundated with Cowboys stuff. Sometimes you can get an easily inflated opinion of these teams that they roll out there, and I don't know at this point. I just feel like I just don't trust the Cowboys, man. And they had every opportunity to look sharp going in yesterday, and you look at it from the other sideline in Washington, you're like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
You know, we had a real chance here.
Oh, Carson Wentz.
And we went to Wentz two out of the last three games. I don't know.
That's a good way to put it. I don't know. Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, the proverbial playoff team you don't want to face. It could even be the one seeds. It's fine. Let's go one conference and then the other. Going into the tournament, 14 teams left. The proverbial AFC playoff team you don't want to face is fill in the blank right there.
Okay, like the Bengals are the hottest and best team in the AFC. You know, the Chiefs are scary, right, all that stuff. But the Bengals, they've just been on fire. I would also put the Jags in that category, too. I'm not saying they're the best team in the AFC, but although Vrabel predictably had made it tough sledding the other night, like, they have been hot, right? You look at the second half of the season and what they've done late, like the way Trevor's looked. They're a tough team. They play fast. And in the NFC, for me, it's the Niners. You know, they were my preseason Super Bowl pick, and, you know, I just, three quarterbacks later, they look just as scary. And they got a really nice draw in the Seahawks, a team that they've beaten twice now. They beat them recently. They have some problems at corner. This guy Lenore has been picked on a little bit. They don't have a lot of back end speed relative to some other teams, and they've blown coverages at different points this season. But they are a machine. You know, they are just a plug and play machine. And that offense scares me, man. It just does. Like, their run game, all the stuff that they throw at you schematically, You know, they've got probably a defensive player of the year up front. They have playmakers at every level defensively. Philly and San Francisco probably going to play in the NFC Championship. And that's a tough matchup for Philly. So, you know, when you talk about teams being hot and, you know, some teams sliding in like the Jaguars, who are a really tough draw for teams thinking they're catching a lower seed, yeah, I would put those teams in that category.
All right, I lied. I got two more things for you. You mentioned the Chiefs, the ring around the rosy snow globe play. A lot of folks thought that was disrespectful of the Raiders. What do you think?
Man, I don't know, because I actually was, at first when I saw it, I was like, hey, that's too cute. You know, like, what are we doing? But then I started to put myself in the huddle and I started to put myself in the defensive backfield and trying to match up, trying to figure out what personnel they're in. Obviously, you know what personnel they're in a little bit sooner, but formationally where they're going, I think that might be a real pain to deal with. So if there's any tactical advantage and it doesn't hinder your performance, then it's worth using and it's not disrespectful. So maybe we'll see that again somewhere.
Okay, and then last one for you, Chris. I'm making you Bob Kraft. Congratulations, you have a lot more money. What do you do right now? That's now four straight years with no playoff wins. He, prior to the season, said it's been 3 years without one. He sounded impatient. We saw what happened with coordinators this year. I know what third rail I'm currently approaching with this question, but I place it before you. What do you have for me about the Patriots offseason? If you're Bob Kraft, what do you do? Chris.
Well, there's one guy that's not going anywhere. That's Bill. You know, so if that's the third rail, I ain't going there. But I would say he might make some demands as far as, you know, who's coaching the offense, loosening the grip a little bit on some of that stuff. Because I'm not out on Mac Jones. Do I think he's an irredeemably dirty player? Yes. Do I think he's a halfway decent quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely. And I thought that yesterday, you know, there's been some spots this year where, and some people might be laughing at me as they hear this, but he'll show you something from time to time. And you can't forget that he's had a D coordinator and a special teams coach who they could have used coaching special teams yesterday, coaching him offensively. It's not only a hindrance to have, you know, two different voices in the room, but the two of them never coached offense, you know, at that level. And you just can't discount that. I know it's not a hot take at this point, but that's a real problem. So I think you got to shore that up. I think also sometimes with New England, we just get so used to, we're like desensitized to their lack of weaponry, you know, and you're just kind of like, yeah, well, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, yeah, Nelson Aguilar, a couple tight ends. We paid a bunch of money. That should be enough, right? I really like the running backs. And I think they got some pieces on defense. You know, Jack Jones, he was suspended. And it's just like, that's a perfect example of the type of BS they've had to deal with this year. You know, Jack Jones gets suspended for not going to treatment. Like, I can hear Bill talking about that right now in my head and just how stupid it is. And then,
what do you mean? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, Chris? What do you mean?
Just like, why are we doing? Why do we have to suspend guys over stuff like that? You know, it's just like, it's such a thing we're not, like, we shouldn't have to think about as the Patriots, you know? And the same thing with giving up two kickoff returns for touchdowns, losing the game on special teams. Same thing with fumbling the ball inside the 5-yard line with a chance to beat the Bengals. You know, same thing with, you know, pitching the ball back to Mac Jones 35 yards behind us on a play that we're supposed to go into overtime. Like, just so many uncharacteristic mistakes, trends, ways that they've lost games. You know, Bill didn't throw that lateral. Bill didn't fumble that ball against Cincinnati. Bill didn't not fit up on, you know, on special teams twice. Like, I feel like, if anything, Robert Kraft should apply pressure on Bill to hire people that are more conventional offensively, because the defense has been really good and they've had some young pieces that are exciting. And I don't think Mac Jones is a bad quarterback. So, I know that Patriots fans are so used to winning. There's a whole, there's kind of a whole generation of them that never had to feel what losing's like. They don't even have to feel what mediocrity's like. didn't have to feel this feeling, not winning a playoff game in 4 years, but buckle up. This is like what it's like to be in the NFL.
Chris,
you know, this is what it's like.
Yep. I'm sorry to cut you off. Hey, brother, have a great championship game watch tonight. You like Georgia, TCU? What do you think? What do you think?
Before man, what do you think? It sounds like Georgia by 3 touchdowns.
We'll see. I'll be at the game tonight.
I hope not.
I'll be there. Let's chat next week. Thanks again. Look forward to hearing your green light pod this week based on everything we just discussed. Thanks again, brother.
I appreciate it, brother. See you.
Everybody, check out Green Light Podcast with Chris Long. Kyle's on there, too. It's a fun time right here on The Rich Eisen Show. This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl games, and of course the Super Bowl. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. We'll be back with your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Blake Corum of Michigan coming up at top of hour three with his decision. This is it, the punt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season 2 coming up.
Catch up with season 1 or start season 2 on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show and The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. TJ Jefferson, if Mike Del Tufo, who has, as you know, money to burn.
I mean, money to burn.
Like, literally, the only person with more Apple stock than him is Lieutenant Dan. So, and no kids, no wife. His alimony's long gone.
Oh, yeah.
All right? He's out of that business for a while. If he buys you a ticket to the national championship game tonight, do you say no?
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
Come on.
He didn't stutter at all.
Here's the deal. Like,
he doesn't want the in and out.
I know we have to pay attention work-wise, but, like, personally, my three teams, we already had our bowl games, and we won, so I'm good.
Now, by the way, hold on a minute. This is a test. Oh, now, I think I know the answer to it.
Uh-oh.
I know you're an East Coast guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like to say you're an East Coast guy.
From the coast.
Despite the fact that, yes, the state that you are from,
that's semantics, bro.
Is
that's
attached semantics. At one part of the end to, you know what I mean? Technically the coast
of New Jersey,
the eastern board of the United States.
And one of the Great Lakes.
Exactly. One of the Great Lakes. Well, it's confluences.
It's all confluences. Good. It's all good.
It's no lake. It's
from the coast of the Monongahela River.
Long story short, but you've been in Los Angeles how long?
Since 1999.
Is the fact that it's raining outside right now factoring into your decision?
No.
Okay.
Because it's a covered stadium.
I call false on that. It's covered.
Yeah, that's why I said
a canopy.
It is going to be cold.
I didn't say it was a dome. I said it was covered.
But the security apparatus to get in the stadium is all outdoors.
All outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be outdoors. A hot mess.
Tell Coop to bring a jacket.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's going to be cold.
Oh, we're equipped.
Yeah.
We're equipped.
Plus, parking's going to be like $150.
That's why you go with a guy who's got an NFL
that's what I mean.
Network.
This guy's gonna pay for everything. Just Mike wants to come with
him. Yeah, there you go.
Mike has a driver.
Oh, I have a driver.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah,
he wants to park. What? He wants to sit VIP.
Ray, I got a guy who takes me.
This guy Ray, the driver. Yeah, I've never heard about Ray the driver.
You don't know about Ray?
He's driven with Ray. We came to your.
How did
you not
know about Ray?
Oh, that's
Ray.
True. I went with Mike with Ray.
That's true. You're 50th.
So Ray, you get Ray a parking spot, and Ray just chills.
No, Ray's a driver, bro.
He drops and comes back.
Where do you drop?
For so far, like for the Super Bowl, he took me. I went right into like next NFL Network.
You can get close.
Yeah, he knows. He's got connections.
Ray the driver.
Ray the driver.
Yeah. He knows everybody.
This does not sway everything. Ray the driver picks you up.
Come on.
Yes.
He will come to your door.
Door to door from Ray and Del Tufo. He wants a plus one. He wants to go. He's decided he's going. You could be the plus one. Let's go.
Here's the deal, Ray.
Tomorrow's show, it's called content. Let's
I have
go.
Nothing.
So much
I
content.
Have no history with TCU. And based upon what was going on in Georgia during this election season, I can't say that I'm going to root for them either.
Wow.
So, I'm good.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what's that mean?
Did he just go politics?
A little bit.
What does the Georgia Bulldog program have anything to do with it?
Yeah, but Herschel Walker lost. So,
I'm just saying.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
It's not like he won.
I'm just saying there's a bunch of people down there that might be like-minded, and therefore I can't root for Georgia.
Yeah, so TCU, TCU's got the same.
TCU's is better?
What
did you
think?
Did you not hear how I started that off by saying I don't have any history with TCU, so I don't care about them?
No, but your same reasoning for Georgia might apply to the state of Texas.
Texas
on average. Just on average.
Well, basically, I'm not going, period.
I didn't even know.
It's free.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff is free.
All right. He's a lost cause.
I'm not.
Jeff in Detroit, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tonight. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff will come down from Detroit to go to the game.
What's going on, Unc, cousins? Everybody doing all right?
Jeff, what if we send Ray to your house by now?
Yeah.
How fast can Ray get to Detroit, Mike?
Yeah, it might take time.
What's going on, Jeff?
It would take time.
Oh, nothing much. Yeah, Ray is the man. The conciliarities of the city, man. I tell you, they got the hookups. They know where to go and what to get and how to get it. That's the one thing that you got to know about a city that you drive in, for sure.
Yep.
Being a Lions fan right now is the weirdest thing in the world, dude. It's like we didn't win anything, but you would think that we won everything. It's like we got over the hump to beat, and we got over the hump beating Aaron Rodgers, first of all. Achilles heel. But with that comes, like, the angst and me knowing that people are starting to talk on these shows about my offensive coordinator. And that was the one thing about Matt Stafford. He never really got comfortable in the offense because he was constantly having to get another OC. This OC has gotten to the point where we don't even need another quarterback because, I mean, Jared Goff is the quarterback. And Rich, how about the miracle that happened there in California? How do you drop 300 feet in a Tesla and everybody lives? That is a miracle, man. My God. It was probably because of the Tesla having the battery in the middle and it dropping straight down because end over end. When I heard that, in every officer that I talked to, every accident investigator that I talked to told me I had to be lying. And I tell you, that's a true miracle.
Well, Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'm going to do my best to try and, first of all, look at my phone and ignore the call coming in from Poland right now.
Oh.
Never sent to voicemail.
It's not Ray.
you know what I'd like to... I'm just going to do real quick, and then we'll go to break here. Here's what I think when Jeff from Detroit says Lions fans being weird because you didn't win anything, but you feel like you won everything. It's because, you know, I've been around the Michigan scene quite a bit. Blake Corum's calling in 23 minutes time to give his decision about whether to stay at Michigan or go pro. I've been around a lot of Lions fans, and I know the issues there because Jets fans share a lot of grief and seeing trapdoors opening up and not getting things right. You don't get the quarterback right. You finally get the quarterback right. You don't get the coach right. The coach and the quarterback, so on and so forth. The front office, ownership, the whole thing. It looks like they got the coach right. I think you can make the case. And he's like perfect for the state of Michigan. He's perfect. You know, his face was red yesterday.
I thought his nose was going to fall off.
His in-game interviews make you want to run through a brick wall.
right? And the team is buying what he's selling. And what he's selling is hard-nosed football where it doesn't matter the score, it doesn't matter the record. We are going to come and win that snap. And it doesn't matter how we're going to win that snap. And I know, I think if he had a choice, would he change the way that he introduced himself at the press conference? Maybe so. But what did they do yesterday? They took hunks out of the Packers. That's what they did. They went and took off their kneecaps with their teeth, you know, and they're getting the right kids. Like, obviously, I'm biased about Aiden Hutchinson, but there's many of them on that team. Many talented. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I told you I thought he's a top 10 receiver. Right? Jamal Williams getting his opportunity. So they've got the coach, and they've got the mantra, and they've got the mentality, and it seems like the front office is married to it by sending them the players that he can put into his system. I mean, Aaron Glenn was going to – everybody wanted him fired because how terrible the defense looked. The defense is coming around. They're coming around. And they last night, and the way they arrived. And unfortunately for them, they lost 48-45 to the Seahawks earlier on this season. Otherwise, they'd be the one going, and they'd be the one going to San Francisco. And I proffer to say the 49ers are happier to see the Seahawks come. I would proffer to say that. So Lions fans who are wondering, you know, when's it going to turn? It's turning. You could see the kids are good. And they're strong. You talk about taking hunks out of people and doing whatever you have to do. How about that dipsy-do flip play? In the fourth quarter, game on the line, they got to score a touchdown and knock the Packers out. They do. And then you just need to get first downs to knock the Packers out. How about that flip play? Amon-Ra St. Brown to DeAndre Swift.
That was amazing.
On second and forever, made it third and short, and they wound up picking up the first down. Going for it on fourth down, that's the stuff. And they send the Packers into the offseason wondering what's the future like. The Lions have a more certain future right now than the Packers on this day. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday when we come back. You ready, baby?
Oh,
ready?
Let's go.
Overreaction Monday when we come back. All right, are you ready? It's a Monday.
Hey, let's go.
And it's not any Monday. It's the Monday after the regular season concludes, prior to Super Wild Card Weekend. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap.
That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Christopher.
What's up, guys? Everybody good?
What do you got?
I mean, it was good until, you know,
what do you have?
The Cowboy game.
What do you have?
That's Bill Peter would say. A lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
What's going on with him?
Yeah.
I think he's coming back for sure. He's not going to leave $60 million on the table, but Aaron Rodgers' days as a top-tier quarterback, over.
Say that's overreaction. I'll say it's an overreaction. The guy's a two-time Super Bowl MVP back-to-back coming into the season, and this year just didn't work out in many different ways, and we all know why.
Got outplayed by Jared Goff.
We all know why. We all know why. I am not going to say his days of being a difference-making quarterback or over. I will not say that.
Top tier, over.
I will not say that at all. I know that he went through the entire regular season without a single 300-yard passing game, but I am not going to do that just yet. I'm living in the moment. That's what he told me to do.
In the past.
I know that. That's what you're saying. But I'm living in the moment, and I'm going to use the phrase that you know, that apparently pays these days, which is like you can't see the future. Nobody knows it. And I think, man, that Christian Watson.
It's kind of nice.
And I'd like to see what he looks like next year with the Lazard law firm along with Dobbs. And heaven forbid they actually get one more for him. You know, running game, Bakhtiari. I think he's going to come back. How about them apples?
Most picks since 2010.
Because if you look at it clear-eyed and full-hearted.
You can't lose.
Yeah, I understand. But who's going to give the Packers any sort of sense of value for him when he's 39, pushing 40, making that much cheese, and he's coming into your new spot and going year to year? It's going to be tough to trade him. I think he stays put, and I think this is an overreaction. What's next?
We love the Lions. Dan Campbell, I thought his nose was going to fall off last night. He looked like Tom Coughlin. The Lions are the best team this year to not make the playoffs.
You can make that case. Well, who's in that mix? The Steelers finishing up as strong as they did? I would take the Lions beating the Steelers right now in a football game. Jared Goff took a team to the Super Bowl, folks.
Jared Goff's better than Aaron Rodgers right now.
Oh, that's an overreaction as well.
Check the numbers.
I'll say you. That's, like I said earlier, the NFC and the 49ers should be happy that the Lions in their house money way of playing right now is not coming to their house, but it's Seattle instead, a team that they know better and have already beaten. What do you got over there, Chris, as well?
We talk What's a lot next? About Sean Payton around these parts and what he's going to do next year. I think Sean Payton's going to be coaching one of these Los Angeles teams in 2023. Yeah,
yeah. Let's see how the Chargers finish up.
With the Rams.
Let's see how the Chargers finish up.
I don't think Sean McVay is coming back.
We got Andrew Whitworth in studio tomorrow scheduled, so I can't wait to have this conversation with him.
Chargers get blown out by the Jags on Saturday. See you later.
I'll say that's not an overreaction right now.
Ooh.
I'll say that.
I know he put it like
that. No way. That's an overreaction. I will say that at this point in time, there's a clearer path to that basket.
They pressed him on the pregame yesterday. He said he's a 7 to return to Fox, and I was like,
"Oh, please, come on now." You know, when asked about he walked us through the process. Like we all know the process and how it works. That you can't really interview till after the wild card weekend and before the divisional round. We all get it. But whatever Fox is paying him, the Broncos or the Rams, or if they want him, or the Chargers really want him. I mean, we just saw what the Cardinals just did, and they're not the Walton family down there. What else you got?
You know what, guys? I was thinking about this next one, and there's only one way to put it. What the hell was that from the Cowboys yesterday?
What do you want me to react to? I already hit this. I don't know what the hell that was.
What the hell was that, TJ?
I don't know what the hell that was. Nobody knows what the hell that was.
Not good football, Chris.
They were just totally disinterested, and you could sit here and blame it on the coach. I already said the coach doesn't have anything to do, in my mind,
with the effort.
Well, coaches should give I don't know about that. We saw what the Lions did. And coach,
good point,
but these are also grown-ass men who went through this program last year, and he rolled them out there. And they were just like, they rolled over.
Yeah, I mean, McCarthy didn't muff the punt. He didn't call two horrible pass calls back-to-back.
That's
and then
the
throw
other thing, too, man.
Two horrible balls, both of which should have been picked, and one which was taken home for a pick six. He didn't do any of that.
And shouldn't the players play with some pride? Like, I don't understand that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Imagine how I feel if you can't figure it out.
But he's one Monday Night Football loss away from, I think, Jerry making a move. Certainly if Sean Payton's out there. And by the way, whatever compensation the Saints and Broncos have reportedly come to, they're going to redo that deal if the Cowboys are the ones knocking on the door.
They should wait till Monday to see.
We'll see, man.
See.
Hey, what else?
Speaking of guys who I don't know their future about, I say Lamar Jackson not on the Ravens next year.
That's ridiculous. That's not happening. He's absolutely on the Ravens next year.
I don't know.
He's absolutely on the Baltimore Ravens
next year. Why hasn't he played?
I don't know what the hell is going on there. I do not know. But the Ravens will franchise tag him. In the same breath that they were saying to us, Kurt Warner, me, Steve Weich, Stacey Dales, and the rest of our crew when we were doing the Saturday's Week 15 triple header on NFL Network, Browns hosting the Ravens in the middle game of that. The same breath they were saying that they thought Lamar would be back the following week, and he still isn't. They are so all in on him. The whole program is built around his team, his abilities, and
but
his.
If he's not in on them, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he has to be, and they are all in on him. He's coming back. The question is a franchise tag player or something else?
It's really weird.
It's very weird, but let's see what happens Sunday night. Because if he strolls out there with Mark Andrews and J.K. Dobbins in Ohio against Burrow and the rest of that team, again, playoffs can change conversations real fast. But for the moment, I'll say that's an overreaction. What else, Chris?
Speaking of the playoffs, Rich, looking at the schedule for Super Wild Card Weekend, I say get ready for it to be all chalk next week.
You could say that. I think you could easily say that.
Where's the upset?
What's the chalk with Jaguars Chargers in your mind? What's the chalk?
Home team, the team with the higher seating.
Well, I mean, the chalk is according to a place where Mo Green has no plaque sump poster or anything else to remember
Chargers
his name.
Yeah, Chargers are a one-point favorite.
From what I heard, pick 'em. Not like I'm into this sort of thing.
That game's a pick 'em.
That's not an overreaction at all.
I would say, where's the upset not, coming from?
Is Giants beating the Vikings an upset?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would circle that one.
That's the one?
If I had to circle one right now, I don't think Seattle's going in and winning. Is the Cowboys chalk?
Cowboys are favored.
Is the Cowboys chalk?
I don't think
mind?
So. That Bucks are the home team.
So all home teams win.
Home team win.
It'll be four visiting one and three visiting two.
Higher seeds. Home teams.
I don't think that's an overreaction, but unlikely. What else?
One more minute. We got one left. 49ers should be your Super Bowl favorite right now. They currently have the fourth best odds.
I as you know, on our Thanksgiving game day morning show where we mulligan or offer to mulligan to get off our preseason pick and go into some other pick for the Super Bowl, I chose the 49ers on that day, and I'm going to follow. I'm sticking to it.
Chiefs, Bills, Eagles all ahead of them.
I think I had the 49ers beating the Chiefs is what I mulliganed into. Oof. And I think I'm going to stick with it. I think they give us one more mulligan Super Wild Card weekend.
Man, I'm leaning Niners Bengals. I'm with Chris Long.
So that's not an overreaction. I told you. And Elijah Mitchell is back to back up McCaffrey. So good overreaction Monday, Christopher. Do we get through all eight?
Well, just wait like 17 seconds.
Okay. Blake Corum of the University of Michigan or Blake Corum of the 2023 NFL Draft? We will find that out in less than 5 minutes when he makes his exclusive announcement right here on the Rich Eisen Show in hour number three.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
Oh, look at you.
All right, for Adam in the back. Bears, as we know, have the number one pick in the draft.
Thanks to the Colts and the Texans.
The Bears should trade Fields and take either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud first overall.
Mind, are you out of your mind? How much?
I think those two guys are better than Fields,
you are out of your skull.
Really? You think Fields is better than Bryce Young or CJ Stroud?
1,000,000%.
Wow.
Come on, man. Really? Are you just doing this for
him? I'm not. Fields can't stay healthy.
Okay. Justin Fields has proven.
To not stay healthy?
Justin Fields has proven that the Jets should have taken him, too, instead of Zach Wilson. That he was the second best prospect at the position.
That's not what am I saying. I'm saying
and he's
Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are better than him.
Based on what? What they did in college?
Based on
Justin
one
Fields
dude
was
won
dynamite
the
in college.
I was gonna say,
and the other guy was the best player in the
did
final
Justin
four
Fields
last week.
Stink in college? I mean,
overreaction. Overreaction.
Wow, I thought I'd get some support here.
No, sir. As a matter of fact, the only thing you get from me is scorn.
All right, who has a better year next year? You guys could have Fields, and I'll take Stroud. And
okay. I'll have Fields. You can have the field.
Yeah.
Great. Wow. Ooh. Easy money.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.